In the first passage you heard today, the Holy Spirit was manifest in those who had come to know Jesus Christ, and those who were Jewish Christians realized that they deserved the same baptism that those in their tradition had received. Baptism was a pretty popular symbol and event in the days of Jesus. The Jews did a form of baptism as a cleansing rite. The Essenes, who were a celibate community on the shore of the Dead Sea, who had put together all of the scrolls that were discovered in 1947, were a special community that had all kinds of rites surrounding baptism as a spiritual cleansing. And so Jesus picked that up and made that a part of the early church and gave it a new sense. We hear from John the Baptist that he was baptizing with water, but one who is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, sadly, in our tradition, we've lost the meaning and importance of infant baptism and child baptism. Part of that is just due to our history. Methodism started in England. It was a great revival in England that may have brought about a kind of cultural revolution that it took a bloody war in France to achieve. And then people started coming from England over to America and spreading the gospel. The problem is most of those people who came to America were lay preachers. And baptism could only be performed by an ordained elder. So consequently, we got away from our sacramental nature in the church, both in Holy Communion and in baptism, particularly of infants. Remember the time, I'm sure many of you as Methodists can remember when you had communion only quarterly in the church? How many of you remember that? Yeah, raise your hand, shake your head. Yeah. All right. Why? Because only maybe four times a year did the ordained minister come around who was able to perform Holy Communion. The same was true of baptisms. At that quarterly meeting, you would have your baptisms because only an ordained minister could perform the sacrament of Holy Communion and the sacrament of baptism, the two sacraments we recognize in the United Methodist Church. So historically, we moved away from weekly celebration of Holy Communion, and over a couple of centuries kind of lost contact with the real meaning of baptism, and baptism became more of an adult revival thing. That you go to revival, you make a confession of faith, you stand up and give your testimony, and you make your profession, and then you're baptized. Now, in that context, that makes a lot of sense. But it planted in our minds that when we are baptized, it's something we're doing. It's about our profession of faith. It's about what we say we believe. And it really is not, in the truest sense of the word. It's what God has done in Christ Jesus on our behalf. Centuries ago, when he died on a cross, that he went through a special baptism of death upon the cross to save us from our sins. There's nothing we can say we believe, there's nothing we can do that is any more dramatic, any more powerful than that one sufficient sacrifice. So baptism becomes a symbol, a powerful symbol of what God is doing for us by his love and by his grace. He's reaching out to us and inviting us into the family. That's why I said it's so important that we have a child that is being adopted. because we're all adopted into this family. There's nothing we can do, say, or accomplish that makes us worthy to be received into the family of God through Christ Jesus. We're just not worth it. But he made a sacrifice that made us worth something, because he said so. And God, in his love and in his power and his grace, has been reaching out to us. John Wesley called it prevenient grace. The grace that goes before. God working in our lives when we don't even know God's working in our lives. God was working in Madison's little life the moment she was conceived to bring her to this place. I've talked many times about, you know, we were God's before the foundation of the world. But when she was conceived, God had a plan. And all of the heartbreaks of this couple in their efforts to adopt were pushed to the side when Donna saw that little baby that was prepared for the two of them before the foundations of the world. That's prevenient grace. That's God's working in that tiny little life and in the lives of that couple and all of the people who have prayed for them to bring that child to this place today, that she might also be adopted into the family of God. God working in her little life and in our lives. Because that's what God has done in our baptism. He's saying, by the power of Jesus, my son who died on the cross, I've canceled any debt you have of sin, and if you believe in him, you'll be a part of our family. So these family members were here to take a vow today, because it's about a covenant. And a covenant has two parts. God is on one side and we're on the other side. And we're agreeing to be in a special relationship with God. And the water is a symbol of that. So it's not how much water. It's not whether we immerse someone. It's a symbol of God immersing us in his great love and showing how much he cares about making a spiritual family here on earth, a spiritual family in this local church. So Beray and Donna are particularly saying, okay, we're going to raise this child in the doctrines of the church, in the life of the church, to learn about Jesus, to learn about God, to know him. But do you realize that you took that vow too? That you committed that you're going to see that Madison and every other child here that's been baptized are going to get the Christian loving care they need in the life of this church. Do you realize that means if Donna and Beret go astray, we have an obligation to go get them, not just because of their baptism, but particularly until that child gets old enough to claim for herself what she believes, we can at least go in the name and say, for Madison's sake, you need to be here. There's some things you need to be doing in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us would dare do that? But I ask you this. How many people that were baptized before this altar in this church might be here today if we took our vow as a congregation seriously and said, if you won't come for your own sake, and we'd love for you to do that, we took a vow when your child was baptized. We have an obligation to come to you and say, for your child's sake, you need to be here. And if not here, if you're not happy with this church, I took a vow. I want to see you happy somewhere. But you made a vow, I made a vow, that this child would grow up in the teachings of the church, and they need to be there. How many of us have failed in our vows? every infant, every child, every youth, every adult that is baptized and becomes a member of this church, we take on those vows. Have you ever thought seriously about living up to it? Being bold in the name of Jesus Christ. And that may be one of the things we have to stand before our Lord and Savior on Judgment Day and account for. Because he's going to remember every time we took a vow. And said, what did you do about that vow? How really involved were you in the life of that child, those children, that youth, those adults? How seriously do you take my love and my grace? See, it's not about what we do when we come forward. It's about what God has already done for us, and we enter into the agreement and say, I accept your love, Father. I accept this grace you want to pour out upon me. And God needs a lot of help to pour that grace out upon us to surround a child in love. You look at the sweetness and the innocence of that little child. And she's reaching out for a community of believers that will assure that she knows Jesus Christ in a personal way. It's not just up to Beret and Donna and the rest of the family. We're her family too. And how many families have we abandoned because we haven't taken seriously the vows that we took? That's our job. That's our major calling in the life of the church. As important as it is to pay our bills, as important as it is to take care of the building and the grounds we have, first and foremost, we are to take care of each other, one another, in the name of Christ Jesus. And maybe we can realize that and understand how important and powerful a holy symbol Madison represents for us today. And all of these children I look out here who have been baptized in this church. You know, without Beret and Donna, without the rest of her family, without us, that child could not survive. Now, we know that physically, that we can't just say, well, she's had a few colicky weeks, I'm just going to put her out in the backyard. I mean, we have laws against that. Well, I really thought I wanted a child, but you know, after this fourth one, I'm not sure. I'm just going to turn them loose. We don't do that. Why do we do that with their spiritual lives? Why is it so important to teach our children to do their homework and to go to school even when they don't particularly like it, right? I know one down here. I was with her until I didn't start liking school until I got to college. It's kind of weird, but, you know, I've told you I'm weird anyway. But, you know, we stick with them. We're there to see that they do it, even when they don't like it. When they take on a job, we talk about, you just can't show up for work. You've got to be responsible. When they're on a ball team, or some other extracurricular event at school, we say, you've got to stick that through. I told you about the time that John took up the viola because of the show Airwolf, I think. And he wasn't in class too long before he realized that's a big instrument to lug to school several days a week. And he wanted to get out of it. No way. In other words, we're good parents in all of those areas, and yet they can slack up with the church, and we don't worry about them. Oh, for heaven's sakes, it's not on their transcript that goes to college. But that may be the most important thing in their lives, and we let it slide, often as parents, and we let it slide as a congregation. Madison needs us. All of these children sitting around in our congregation need us to keep our vows. We need each other to keep our own vows, because it's love that empowers the meaning behind baptism. God's love reaching out to us, and our love reaching out to one another, that holds us in that beautiful covenant and circle of love. We would be impoverished, I think, if we were one of those denominations that only believed in believers' baptism. But you got to know what you're saying before you can be baptized. Because the older I become, the less I realize I know about the miracle of God's sacraments. If it were left to my understanding, I would never be a Christian. I would never be worthy of Holy Communion. I would never know enough about baptism to be ready. But praise be to God. It's about what God does in us, not what we're doing, that's a part of the sacrament. So we can offer it to every child, every youth, every adult, because God is reaching out in His love for each of us. Are we reaching out to one another? Let us pray. Gracious Father, You paid the supreme sacrifice through Your Son, Christ Jesus. And we're the recipients of that wonderful love. On a spiritual level, we can no more survive by ourselves than Madison can if we just turned her loose in the world. But in our arrogance, we sometimes think we can. In our stubbornness, we resist the help and love of one another. And with our timid spirits, we draw back from reminding one another of the covenants we have made for almost 50 years now in this church. Help us to know it's all by Your love and by Your grace. May we all be faithful in fulfilling our vows before You, as we ask Your blessings upon us to give us the courage to make You first in our lives, that we might be an example to Madison and the other children of this church for this day and every day. Amen.